Hi, hello everybody, and welcome to the first ever edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour, episode one, titled Truex Triumph. So, you remember the OG Racing Refresh show. Tried, true, we've done it, and you know, we've had some stops and starts, but it's whatever you may call it, whether that's Racing Refresh, Race Appeal Radio. Well, now it's time for the new breed of Racing Refresh, and that is Racing Refresh Happy Hour. And of course, I'm going to be your host, Loganity Morrison, and it's my honor and privilege to be in this spot. But a host needs some co-hosts. They need some friends. They need somebody to get through. They need, you know, a little Joe Crocker style. Someone's got to get by, a little help from the friends. And I could think of nobody better than my old pit bull brethren, my old weekly downshift friend. I'm talking about the best man, of course, Colin Best. We're back, my friend. It's been so long. How are you, brother?
It has been so long. It's been a year. It's 2023. Racing season is finally upon us. We have a lot to talk about. The next hour, it's happy hour. I have a beverage off screen. I won't show it on air. My lighting situation, we'll get through it. It's week one. We have 40 weeks left to go.
Look, we're going to be just fine, but I got to tell you, it's just so good to be back with you, back in the saddle. And I can promise you, this is going to be our greatest show ever in terms of we're going to be more consistent. We're going to give you about 40 episodes a year. It's going to be great. And let me tell you about the man that's making it all happen. I'm talking about our show creator, the Canadian extraordinaire, Adam Carbine. Adam, come on in here and say hello to the folks. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm well, Logan. Thank you. Thanks for having me. To be honest, I'm normally someone with few words, so this is a little step out of my comfort zone, but if you'll bear with me, I'm going to try and make it work throughout the season and hopefully get better as the season goes on.
No question about it. Look, we're all going to get better. We're all in this together, and as far as stepping goes, stepping's always out of my comfort zone if you catch my drift. So, but it's great to be here, and thank you for creating Racing Refresh Happy Hour. And, you know, we can't do it without a producer, so where could I find one? Oh, that's right, my better half, the greatest good I'm ever going to get. I call her Peter, some call her Peggy. Peggy, how are you?
It's good to be back. It's good to be home.
Here we are. I got to tell you, I didn't think we would ever be under this banner again. And yet here we are. But Colin, you understand how it is. We're wrestling guys. Never say never, right? Here we are. So with
never
that,
say never.
With that, Peggy, before we let you go, any words, any comments?
I'm thrilled to be here.
All right. Well, you hang out in the back, you know, really cool. Throw some popcorn at me virtually. And, me and Colin are going to steer this ship, and Adam, you're gonna come and go.
I'll be lurking in the shadows.
You're gonna be creeping, as they say. You remember that John Waters, Nicki Minaj tune, "The Creep"? That's gonna be you. About the first time I ever heard of her. Do you remember that tune?
It's an instant classic. Yeah,
that's a way back machine right there. All right, so okay, episode one, season one, Racing Refresh Happy Hour, Truex Triumph. Colin, this feels, we're home here. This is beautiful. All right, let's go ahead and talk about it. First, we've got to have our racing recap. I believe we got something queued up. Let's make that happen for me real quick because it's time to talk about it. And we're waiting. It's all right. We'll just talk Clash. Let's do it. All right, yeah. So. Busch Light Clash. A lot of stuff happened. It started in practice, for God's sake, Colin. Of course, Ty Gibbs caught fire during practice. That was a big issue last season, and we thought that with the offseason that would go away, and then it clearly hasn't, because we had the same issue literally practice one of the year.
Yeah, this was a Ford issue pretty much all last year. This notably happened with Harvick at Darlington and then Chris Buescher at Indianapolis, and we thought the problem was solved. It didn't happen again this year, and that in 2022. Now in 2023, we've gone through maybe an hour of on-track activity, and this has happened in the Toyota camp. Now, the back then, it was tire buildup that came off the tires, built up the rubber, went to ignition point, and caught fire, and they fixed that issue. What the issue with Ty Gibbs was apparently an improper muffler that was installed on the car, because mufflers are new in 2023, and it was very noticeable. We'll talk about that during our Clash review. But I feel like this is one of those things that people have to work out through the rest of 2023. And I mean, we really won't get to this point until Speed Week in 2 weeks. So if you have kinks to work it out now, because in 2 weeks' time, it's going to be for points. It's going to be for championship, and it will be for the Daytona 500, which magnifies all problems.
That it does. She's a vengeful beast that Bill Francinier, the mad scientist, decided to create. So yeah, this is the time to work out the kinks and build your momentum. And speaking of building momentum, there's a reason this episode's called Truex Triumph. MTJ, you know, it is not a points paying race. It is not. It's the equivalent of a preseason game. But for a man that struggled like he did in terms of closing the deal last year, as far as wins goes, Martin Truex Jr. getting it started with a big win. Of course, we're gonna have our friend come in just a moment. But first, Colin, first I got to get your thoughts. MTJ kind of getting off the proverbial schneid and getting a win at the Clash.
Yeah, and it wasn't in a surprising fashion. He was really quick throughout the entire session on Saturday and Sunday. He was either at the top of the charts, and he led. He was in the top five pretty much the entire time during the Clash. But I think this goes to speak as Toyota as a whole. From last year's Clash, they were probably the worst of the manufacturers who even showed up. This year, you had Denny Hamlin, who was strong early. You had Christopher Bell, who looked very quick in his heats. And correct me if I'm wrong, he didn't make the show, I don't believe. He didn't make the final. But then you had Denny Hamlin, who's quick, Martin Truex Jr., Bubba Wallace, and Tyler Reddick. They were all quick for the Toyotas. So it wasn't surprising to see. I think the happiest person in this entire show right now is our good Canuck, Adam Carabine, who is the biggest Martin Truex Jr. fan I know. But I feel like what we heard yesterday, the retirement rumors about Martin Truex Jr., they were pretty rampant throughout the offseason. This could be his last year. If he has continued success like he does, I think those rumors are going to be squashed down a little bit. The heat's going to be taken off of him. And hopefully this is the year Martin Truex Jr. gets back on the horse. And if we learned anything from last year with Logano, if you win the Clash, you're guaranteed to win the championship. It's one for one. Let's make it two for two. But I was very impressed with Martin Truex Jr. I think that was a statement win for him this late in his career.
Well, I know one guy that hopes you're right about it maybe going two for two. Let's bring him back in, the show creator himself, Mr. Adam Carabine. As you said, the biggest Martin Truex Jr. fan you know, Colin. Biggest one I know as well. Well, we got some buddies that might give you a run for the money. I don't know.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I'm not sure I'm ready to take that title as the biggest Martin Truex fan. I just happen to be a big fan. Yeah, I saw an interesting poll on Twitter from our friend of the show, Taylor Kitchen. She was saying, you know, does the Clash work out to be like a benchmark or a, you know, how does it show teams what you've got for the rest of the season? Is it? And I said, you know, I think it's actually yes and no, depending on how you do. If you fail at the Clash and have a bad time, I think it's easy enough to write it off as an exhibition, and you know, it's over and done with. We move on, and that's easy. But I think if you do well, like Martin Truex did, I think that can really set you on a path for having a good season. And I'm calling it now, Martin Truex Jr. You know, 2023 NASCAR champion. I was just thrilled to see him in victory lane again, even though it wasn't for points, because he had a bit of a rough year last year.
Yes, in terms of, you know, finding that elusive W, kind of, for lack of a better term, being the closer. I know that's Kevin Harvick, but you know what I mean, just bringing it home. He was not able to do that. So let's go on the record now before we put you back in the shadows, Adam. Do you think that's the first? Do you think he gets at least 1 points pay and win this season?
I think so. It's easy to look back at last season and say, oh, he had zero wins and, you know, it was a terrible season or something. He was really close quite a few times. You know, he wasn't completely out of it or out of the running in the entire year. So I think, you know, every once in a while, just a little bit of luck going your way can go a long way. And I think we'll see two. I'll throw it out here now. 2+ wins for MTJ in 2023.
Oh, look, the Canuck strikes again with a wager. I like it. He's a gambling man. So we'll see in just a few moments, Adam. But first, Colin, let's talk to you here. I want to ask you the same question. Does Martin Truex get a points pay and win? Because I know people are saying this proves he can still win. And to some extent, it does. But also, let's pump those brakes, folks. It's a 27 car. It's hard to call it a race. We'll get more into it in just a second. But it was 27 cars and pretty much being thrown around in a bowl for a few hours with a lot of cautions and no caution laps. So does this, in your view, prove he can still win, number one? Number two, will he get a points-paying race to really get the proverbial monkey off the back?
I think it's proof that he can still win in this series. And the things that he had to do, I don't think he'll have to hold off people so aggressively throughout the rest. I mean, the LA Coliseum is a special racetrack. It's the only quarter mile on the circuit. And the only comparison you can make to it is Martinsville. And Martinsville is about 20 to 30 miles an hour faster than they were going at the end of the straightaway going into turns 1 and 3. And granted, we only race at Martinsville twice in 1 year, very early in the year, and then it's the last race before the cutoff to the championship four. So can we take anything away from the clash? I guess Toyota has a very good short track program this year, based on the speed they all showed at the clash. But I feel like there's so much rust that everyone had to get off and shake off and get back into the racing season. We always talk about that in the NASCAR season, the season doesn't start until after the 500, because granted the 500 is half skill, half luck. I would say there's more skill involved in racing at the LA Coliseum than there is at Daytona, because it's more of a driver's track. But for Martin Truex Jr., I would say having an over-under at 1 win this year, I think that's a pretty solid bet. And I would take – I think he'd hit the stride at 1. But if you remember from 2022, there was 18 winners last year, and Martin Truex Jr. was not one of them. So right now, I mean, you're only good as your last at-bat. So right now there's 18 guys who are faster and better than Martin Truex Jr. right now. So if 2023 goes like 2022 goes, I don't see him making a win. But, you know, we'll go to Dover. That's one of his best tracks. We'll go to Martinsville twice. Well, once before the playoffs, and that's one of his better tracks. So his best shot would probably be Martinsville. But, you know, being the sentimental favorite at Dover certainly brings up the betting odds for him as well.
Well, we'll see what happens, but look, Martin Truex Jr. Getting off the schneid. I'm not trying to downplay the win. It's a big moment for Martin Truex with the, you know, it's just natural to have some questions in terms of can I still get it done when you win a whole year and weren't able to get it done, especially at that age. It's just natural to kind of creep into you. Let's not forget, we're not going to discuss it, but let's not forget it's a big win for him personally. We know he's having some, I don't want to say difficulties, but he's going through some changes with his personal life. And so it is. It's important in momentum's sake, but I think the people that are saying this sets the tone for the whole year, this is how it's going to be, I pumped the brakes on that. Let's not forget this was nothing near a traditional race. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. Another thing to talk about, though, before we get into the overarching race is RCR. They were 2 and 3. Colin, I got to ask you, Kyle Busch, old KFC himself. No, that's not it. KFB. Sorry, I love food. He's at RCR now. And so the question is this going to be the official resurgence year of RCR? What say you?
Seems like it. I mean, from last year's clash, he finished second. This year, he finished third. He did let Austin Dillon go in the final laps to catch Martin Truex Jr. because he was faster than Kyle at the later stages of the race. But, you know, Joe Gibbs failed Kyle Busch by not putting his confidence in him. And we know that because Monster was always in the Gibbs back pocket, that we know something could have gotten done with Kyle Busch getting a sponsor. We know Kyle Busch had got sponsors over the off season coming to RCR. I'm thinking that either Richard Childress tried or Joe Gibbs didn't try hard enough to keep him. He may have saw the proverbial writing on the wrong wall for Kyle Busch, as he was his numbers and StatChat, and Adam Carabine, for leader of StatChat, can also tell us his numbers too, probably in a later StatChat or if he has those numbers pulled up. But ever since COVID year really happened, his statistical numbers have gone down. He's had less track time. But now Kyle Busch has, I guess, a chip on his shoulder, and he's still one of the best drivers in the garage. So I would say for Kyle Busch, you know, after what I saw, I guess I don't want to play overreaction theater. We'll have to wait 5 weeks into the year probably for me to get a better judge of where Kyle Busch is at. But he went to the clash and almost won. And he went through the entire field. He went all the way to the back after Logano spun him, and he still finished third. So the man can still wheel it. I think we could see a second beginning of Kyle Busch, a real kind of the veteran era. I'm very looking forward, but I was very impressed by both RCR cars at the clash. I think they both showed tremendous speed. Austin Dillon was aggressive until it sort of bit him in the rear end when it came to Bubba Wallace. But for both of them, I think this is the Kyle Busch went to the right place where he needed to be in his career, and having Austin Dillon leaning on Kyle Busch, who he can learn from, I think that makes that team so much better, and we'll see come Daytona.
No question about it. Look, any way you slice it, no matter your views on the very controversial Kyle Busch, he makes every race team he's a part of better, and so it's going to be interesting to see just what he can do at RCR. But you brought up some of that aggressiveness that we saw from Austin Dillon, and that really bleeds us into the fact that, look, let's talk about the overarching thoughts of the clash here. There were a boatload of cautions. I mean, you could have you probably could have driven out of state and back and not missed that race because there was just a boatload of cautions. I believe the number was, 18? I might be wrong on that. But obviously it's a built track in the LA Coliseum. You know, where it's one of those things, cool for novelty, but at this point, 27 cars on it. Our statistician in my ear said there were 16 cautions. Pardon me. Thank you, Adam Carabine. So 16 cautions, and There was no such thing as a true run in that race. I thought the heats were far better than the actual main event, which is a problem in my view. I just thought it left a lot to be desired because I thought it showed that 27 cars on that track is too much. I think if you're going to continue to do the Clash here, which is not what I would do. I understand LA is a huge market. I get that. I respect it. But if you're going to do it, you need to bring back the exclusiveness of this event, because 27 cars obviously proved to be too much. You could not solidify a new race. I know that people say, well, it's good for the sport and it's a new market and might create new fans. Nobody that watched that race, you either thought it was passable or you thought it was bad. No one said that was great. It's not going to create many new fans. Frankly, if it does create a new fan, I think they're falling in love with something that NASCAR truly isn't, because that was not their best showing in my view. So, Colin, I want to come to you on this. What should happen to the Clash in 2024? What'd you think of all the cautions? And the big question was, should it become a points-paying race? There's a lot to unpack there. Go with it.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack. See, maybe you and I are on different ends of the spectrum. I thought it was okay. Whereas following you on social media and hearing what you just said about it now, you weren't the biggest fan. I think compared to last year's event, I think was a much better event than this year's was. Frankly, no one knew how tough the cars were. No one knew how to drive the track. And there was a park shortage that was touched on multiple times throughout the broadcast for some weird reason. I feel like after the first two times we heard it during the actual race broadcast, I thought it would have stopped, but it kept going for some reason. That's a conversation for another day. But it turned into, you know, the end of the 2021 Daytona 500, pretty much the whole time, where Michael McDowell drove through Logano and Keselowski. That's what you had to do to pass people. And the old racing, like who watched the old Bristol races and really enjoyed that, you know, that's what the old Bristol was. That's what we want Bristol to be. Like we want to repave Bristol and turn it back into the old Bristol that we had in the 90s and 80s and early 2000s. But on the flip side is that the Clash opens up NASCAR to do new markets every single year with this event. You don't have to put it in LA because you proved that you could put it in the Coliseum and it would work. Now, there are multiple other football stadiums that are just as big, if not bigger, than the Coliseum, and we won't go anywhere. Like, it's going to stay in LA next year, and it's probably going to become more stale. That's what I honestly think it will be. It'll suck for Crystal because she won't fangirl over Joel McHale. That's a little inside joke for everyone behind the camera right now. But I was thinking about if you didn't have the Clash at LA, where would you put it? You can put it in North Wilkesboro.
I'm old school. Put it at Daytona. Let's go on back. Let's just do it.
See, the thing about you say that, you know, it'll attract new fans, but the thing is, people wrecking each other going into turns one and three every single lap isn't what NASCAR is. And if you come into expecting short tracks, close quarters every single week, you're going to be disappointed, especially when, you know, you go to Pocono or the Indianapolis Road Course and you realize that there are these long, drawn out just segments of this race. Now, we won't get that with road courses anymore. We'll touch on that later. But, you know, with Pocono, it gets very long. And I've had enjoyable naps watching races at Pocono. But, I mean, I can see you moving it back to Daytona. I mean, that's the history and that's tradition. But there's also a racetrack that we only go to once a year now in North Wilkesboro. Have it in North Wilkesboro. If you want a bullring type atmosphere, I would take it to North Wilkesboro. Rockingham just got repaid. I think there's a lot of other choices for this.
Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, that's what I would do. Let us know throughout the week what you would do. Where do you want to see the Clash in 2024? For God's sake, please don't make it a points race. That's all I'm asking. No. All right, so we're gonna move it along. And we are going to kick it to our girl Crystal, who's got a lovely video from the clash at the Coliseum. Take it away, Crystal.
Finally, all of that doom and gloom from winter and the off season are gone. We're back in Los Angeles, California for the Busch Light Clash at the Coliseum, NASCAR's exhibition race that kicks off before Daytona and kicks off the 2023 season. I'll take you around the clash, but first, let's catch a ride. Laps on the track at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. If I had to give him an Uber rating, I think I'd give him about 5 stars. I can't say much about that. That didn't happen on my ride. Kind of wish it did. Anyways, Cabo Wabo Tequila and NASCAR have officially announced their partnership. At a launch party the eve before the clash, I was able to try one of their signature cocktails made from mezcal tequila and in the style of a margarita. Guess what it was called? The Smoke Show. No, it wasn't named after Tony Stewart, but hey, it tastes good.
Los Angeles, California,
if there's one thing I could say about the clash at the Coliseum, NASCAR got it right. You know that an LA staple is a churro. And also, there were agua frescas. I mean, this is just a brief walk through the fan zone early morning of the race, and already people are starting to show up, including celebrities. Let's go to the red carpet. Quite a few celebrities in the house. Chuck Liddell. This is Johnny Bananas from MTV.
We'll see, man. Ricky Bobby.
Damn. Danny, can we expect to see you at Fontana again this year?
Absolutely. I will be there. Are you kidding?
Please tell me how much LA needs something.
Oh,
like
no.
That.
Come on. We've got every, you know, we got tennis. Who plays tennis? We got every sport in the world except for NASCAR. And we need NASCAR. Los Angeles necesita NASCAR.
Well, we're happy to see you here.
Well, that looks like our race break entertainment. Wiz Khalifa.
Hey, Wiz, can I get a picture, Wiz?
Honorary starter for the NASCAR Clash and Heisman Trophy winner. Ooh, careful. Heisman Trophy winner, Caleb Williams.
An interview, I like
yes,
it.
Yes, slightly.
You
so
did tell me you were going to be
did.
Here.
I did.
Yeah.
So the number 7 animal control, Corey LaJoy, did not make it into the main event. Who do we root for now?
He didn't make it?
No.
Oh, I just heard. No. Well, so Joey Logano then.
Joey Logano?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Are you all right with that?
Best place to be, Coca-Cola Torch Porch Party.
Trying to get crazy with NASCAR, don't you know we're local?
Yeah. Hello, hello, my name is Dr. Clayton. Make some noise.
Called the one time, hate the role model.
So,
I think you play like the darkness. You get the dot of a magnum, fucking the comment. Coming at ya, bum bum.
Hey, I'm gonna get ya.
How do you know what I'm at?
It's real.
Hey, it looks like our winner. All I can tell you is NASCAR threw a huge party, and I am still recovering from the weekend. I'll shoot it back over to you guys at the studio to give us a rundown of the clash. Any final words, Rob?
From the home competitors, the Coliseum, drivers, start your engines!
Thanks so much, Crystal. I'll tell you, the Clash of the Coliseum looks like it was a bang-up event. It looks like you had a lot of fun out there. We enjoyed it. Hope you did. Let us know. All righty. So with that, we've covered the Clash. We've got Crystal's lovely video. Now it's time for what we call Happy Hour Headlines. That's right. Look at that. Neon baby. Anywho, let's talk about it. Unfortunately, let's kick it off with some sad news. Ned Jarrett's wife, Dale Jarrett's mother, passed away yesterday. They reported that news today. Our thoughts and prayers and best wishes from all of us at Racing Refresh go out to the Jarrett family. We remember seeing Martha at the track during Dale's career, Ned's broadcasting career. So our best wishes going out to her. There's some odd issues going on with Kyle Busch and our friends to the south, as our founder used to say. Let's bring in our show creator Adam Carabine to read a statement from Kyle Busch and his situation in Mexico. Adam, do you have that statement? Are you ready?
I do, yeah. So Kyle Busch posted on Twitter, "In late January, Samantha and I enjoyed a several-day vacation in Mexico. When departing the country, my handgun was flagged during routine screening at the airport. I have a valid concealed carry permit from my local authority and adhere to all handgun laws, but I made a mistake by forgetting it was in my bag. Discovery of the handgun led to my detainment while the situation was resolved. I was not aware of Mexican law and had no intention of bringing a handgun into Mexico. When it was discovered, I fully cooperated with the authorities, accepted the penalties, and returned to North Carolina. I apologize for my mistake and appreciate the respect shown by all parties as we resolved the matter. My family and I consider this issue closed."
Well, that's good enough for me. I don't know enough to fully comment on it, but thanks so much, Adam, for reading that statement. We of course, will keep you updated on any developments of that, but until then, I don't know how much we can get into it because it's still such a fresh new case till then. So we have Kyle Busch's statement on the issue. That's good enough for now. All right. Now, new rules for 2023. I will read them all, but there's a few we're going to expand on, starting with that iconic move, the Hell Melon. That's going to be a one and done event. Essentially, NASCAR has made that a time penalty. So that's a no-go as far as the classic now Hell Melon move. Colin, give me your thoughts on it. I know it's a very controversial among a lot of people.
It was the greatest move in NASCAR that we'll never see again. You know, we'll always see, you know, passes coming out of turn four to the line, a la Gordon Harvick or Mark Martin and Harvick at the Daytona. Harvick was involved in a lot of these. It's kind of weird, but you know, we'll move on to that. That's a story for a later date, but I'm okay with this. Considering the fact that it was such a Hail Melon, it's kind of weird just saying Hail Melon, but you know, that's what the name that will be remembered forever. I'm okay with this. You know, that was a desperate move from a person who wanted to race for a championship. He couldn't get it done in the first two races, and he really waited until the final lap to do it. I'm okay with this. I don't feel like it's very controversial. I think it was a dire circumstance and he exploited a situation. So good on for NASCAR. Let's actually race to the line and not rely so heavily on a Hail Mary every once in a while.
Look, I see both sides of the coin here. From a personal standpoint, do I want to see every Martinsville playoff race in this way? No. And rest assured, I don't know if it would be every race, but it would happen with more frequency than we would like. So I get that for the sake of safety and those sort of things. On the other hand, in a sport that says we're trying to build new fans, that was the most viral moment in modern NASCAR history, perhaps. So it's one of those things when you don't allow something like that to be happen again and you just crack down with more rules, you might be cutting yourself off at the knees because, again, this is a sport that says we're trying to attract new fans, a different generation, a younger generation. And that might be undercutting that idea when, NASCAR, you don't want NASCAR to be the no fun week to some extent. So I do understand both sides of this coin. But it is to some extent frustrating for a sport that says we're trying to build new fans, we need new fans, to take such a drastic measure on what has become one of the most iconic moments in NASCAR 75 years. So I see both sides of that coin. But that is what it's going to be, and it is what it is. But I think it is worth a discussion. But the rules are decided. Other big news out of the new rules: stage breaks of courses, they are DUN done as far as the stage caution goes. Points will still be awarded. But finally, back to quote-unquote traditional racing for you traditional out there at the road courses. No more will stage cautions at the road courses for now. Again, stage points will still be awarded. Colin, I'll start this one off. I like it. I'm not upset at stage racing. I know a lot of old school fans are. The one thing, though, that I've always thought it does take deeply away from is that you don't have any more fuel mileage races, especially on the road courses. And a fuel mileage race is exciting, and it creates that occasional miracle win that NASCAR's been looking for a way to, you know, kind of create, if you will. And this is the way to do it, by not creating anything. Just let it happen as it is, because as long as they're stage racing, fuel mileage is not non-existent, but it's going to be very few and far between. So, Colin, I want your thoughts. No more stage caution on the road courses. And do you think it's the start? Do you think that expands at some point in the near future, within the next year or two?
I would say it expands. I think this is a home run out of all the rule changes that came into 2023. I think this is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, rule change we've had for so long, especially at like Sonoma and Watkins Glen. We've always talked before stage racing about fuel mileage, and these guys really like to get on you can't do it on one stop, but at least two stops would be the minimum. And we always like to see who can do it better than everyone else. I kind of wish we had Road America back on the schedule, since that is the longest track that NASCAR raced at. You know, fuel mileage at that place would have been one of the wackiest and craziest things we've ever seen. We would have a guy run out of fuel coming out of the carousel and not even make it back to the start finish line. The whole field would pass him by. I hope this comes to oval racing. I think stages, there are some races that I think can deserve stages. And if they did stages, I always thought they had it backwards. I always thought the opening of the race should be the longest stint. Because usually let's say Kansas, the longest stint was always stage three, the race towards the end. But if NASCAR really wanted excitement in their whole process, they would make the longest stint the first stage, and then each stage would be subsequently shorter, to where you'd have a 30 lap, 40 lap green flag run to the end, and the pressure goes all the way up. That's how you would do it, and creates excitement. That would bring fans in. But I miss, you know, strategy being involved. It kind of takes the crew chief out of it with stage racing, because we're just racing to the stage. Then once the stage happens, the field resets, and then we do it all again. But with the road courses, considering how long pace laps are at road courses, I think this is a win by NASCAR.
I agree. I would be okay if stage racing cautions went away. Yes, that would create some moments where there aren't some races where it isn't so exciting. And that's the one thing that stage race cautions does create, is that big lead can't usually happen. And so it gets, you know, I'm sure it's frustrating for the leader, but as a fan sitting at home, it's frustrating to watch someone lead the field by 15 seconds. So again, just like the Hail Melon rule, there is two sides of the coin. I do think this is the beginning of the end for stage cautions. I don't, you know, will happen this year, probably next, but I'd be surprised if in 3 or 4 years we're still talking about them at all on any track. But we'll see. This sport's taking a lot of topsy-turves that none of us saw coming. All right, a few other rules. There was plenty. Loose wheel penalties were amended. Now it's a two-race suspension. There's going to be wider restart zones. Choose cone now at every race. No more top 30 playoff rule. Let's expand on that for just a moment, Colin. I like that. I think if we're a win in your end system, it shouldn't be win in your end unless you're this. Because, you know, we got to some of those super speedway tracks or a baby super speedway in Atlanta now, and people were talking about Corey LaJoie potentially winning, but still not making the playoffs because he wasn't in the top 30. Well, if a win in your end system is not a win in your end system, then what's the point? What do you think of the top 30 rule going away?
Yeah, there's at least 36 teams that have a charter. So let's say Corey LaJoie finishes 32nd in points. He's a charter. He's been there since Daytona all the way to Darlington, all the way to Phoenix, really. He's a full-timer. And to say that a guy who hasn't been – who was running full-time, who's not in the top 30 in points, wins a race, but he's still outside the top 30 – is a detriment. Then why run full time at all if you're not going to reward guys for being full time drivers? And to be honest, no one really cared about the top 30 rule unless you were a Kyle Busch who got injured in 2015, who had the broken leg, and we're talking about waivers. And Ryan Newman missed at Daytona his accident, and we were talking about waivers for him. And then most recently, unfortunately, it didn't happen, but Kurt Busch got injured at Pocono, and if he came back, he would have been eligible for a waiver. This way, if Kurt Busch did win a race at Kansas, and he didn't have issues that happened to him at Pocono, he could have come back if he was cleared, and you know he'd be racing for a championship just on fewer points than everybody else, which would put him 16th or so. I'm fine with these rules. The wider restart zone, I don't really know how that's going to play into things. I think the choose cone rule at every track will certainly lead to some good strategy, especially at the super speedways. And the damaged vehicle policy clock. I wish that wasn't even a thing. I wish people can still take it to the garage and come back out and finish the race. There's some hits and misses, some rules that were bigger than others, but this top 30 in stage, the top 30 gone, the stages at road courses gone. Those are some of the biggest rules I think NASCAR's seen in quite a while.
Yeah, you hit on it. We get wet tire packages and select ovals, and the damaged vehicle policy clock, the DVP, is now at 7 minutes. And, you might be wondering, if you're a new fan, what in the world does that mean exactly, DVP, damaged vehicle policy, and why it's important? Well, luckily, our fearless leader, the show creator himself, Adam Carabine, has got a brand new segment here for you on Racing Refresh Happy Hour, and that's No Stupid Questions. And this week focuses on that DVP clock. Let's learn a little bit, shall we?
Like to call No Stupid Questions with myself, Adam Carabine. Since I only recently dove into the world of motorsports, I'm kind of new. I certainly have some experience when it comes to asking stupid questions. Early in my fandom, I was Googling so many things while watching the live broadcast, some of which were kind of hard to find because it seemed like everyone already knew the answer. I thought, what if there was a safe space for people like me to ask some of their stupid questions without being ridiculed for not knowing it? Maybe it's a rule that you'd forgotten about that came up at that week's race. Maybe it's just a procedure that you've never fully understood. Whatever your question might be, there are no stupid questions here, okay? So reach out to me, let me know. I'll do the potentially embarrassing research and try to give you the best explanation I can find. And who knows? Maybe we might learn something along the way. For our first installment of No Stupid Questions, I wanted to find something that was somewhat timely. So NASCAR announced some updated rules for 2023, and one of which was that the DVP clock was moving from 5 minutes to now 7. So what is the DVP clock and why is it even a thing? First of all, DVP stands for Damaged Vehicle Policy. It's a time limit that's set by NASCAR for working on cars that have been damaged in an on-track incident. The DVP first came into effect in 2017, and essentially the logic behind the DVP was that if a car needed more than a certain amount of time to be repaired, that might pose a safety risk out on the track. Like, if a car was damaged in a big incident but could still run, teams used to be able to spend as much time as they wanted trying to repair and essentially keep the car in one piece. At a certain point, though, enough damage to a car is going to impact its performance, and it won't be able to keep up with the normal speeds of a car running with no damage. It's either going to go out on track and leak fluids, shed some debris, or honestly just be in the way. NASCAR decided that this was too dangerous, and rightly so. They enacted the damaged vehicle policy. So if you couldn't repair your car and get it to a minimum speed within a certain amount of time, you're officially out of the race. So enter 2022, the next gen car, an entirely new machine made up of parts supplied by NASCAR rather than built on site by the teams themselves. Repairing a car in just 5 minutes is suddenly a little more difficult because the crews aren't as familiar with how these cars work. Some cars wound up being kicked out due to the DVP, but might actually have been repairable to a safe degree. So in the 2022 playoffs, NASCAR decided to double the DVP to 10 minutes just to see if that was enough time for teams to figure things out. For the 2023 season now, NASCAR has just announced that they are going to split the difference. They are giving all teams 7 minutes to repair cars involved in wrecks or incidents on the track. One important thing to note is that if the car has a mechanical failure of any type, unrelated to an on-track incident, they are allowed to take the car to the garage and work on it for as long as they like. DVP does not apply to those scenarios. But there you have it. That is the DVP. Hopefully this was maybe just a refresher for you, or maybe it was brand new information. I certainly didn't know all of this, so I appreciate that myself. Regardless, let me know what you'd like to learn about next week. And remember, there are no stupid questions.
Certainly, there are no stupid questions indeed. Thank you, Adam, for that lovely, lovely explanation on the DVP, where it comes from, why it's around. And let's go ahead and bring Adam Carabine back in here because it's time for our NASCAR season preview. That's right. Look at that lovely graphic made by my better half. I'm a lucky, lucky man. So let's do it. Season preview, boys. All right. So let's ask a few questions here. I'm going to kick it to you, fellas. Who has a better season, 2021 Cole Custer or 2022 Ryan Preece? Obviously, I think that's 2023. But so let's talk about it. Colin, I got to tell you, I think it's pretty clear cut. Ryan Preece is going to absolutely, I think, clear the, no disrespect to Cole Custer, the low bar. And I think he proved that at the Clash Sunday. What say you?
I think Ryan Preece has to do better than Cole Custer. For him, this is his last shot. This is Tony Stewart putting all the chips on Ryan Preece for the future of SHR after Kevin Harvick is leaving. For Cole Custer, he was supposed to be one of the best drivers we've ever seen come into the NASCAR Cup Series. He's absolutely lit it up in the Xfinity Series. And we thought that would transfer over. And unfortunately, he only had one win in 2 years, that dramatic win at Kentucky. That still will be an all-time classic finish. 2020, COVID year. But for Ryan Preece, who the past couple of years have gone from Xfinity to Truck Series, he's won a couple of events. He won, most notably, I think he won the Kentucky race the last time the Truck Series went to Kentucky. But for him, this is it. This is his last chance. He's a short track ace, and I expected him to do really well at the Clash. And unfortunately, with that electrical failure around 25 laps to go, we'll never see we will never see the full potential of Ryan Preece from the Clash. But the Clash is just a stepping stone. It's not a site for the whole season. It's just a small contained thing. So for him, sky's the limit, but he's on a very, very short leash.
I would agree with that. What say you, Mr. Carabine? Who's got the better year? Would you say last year, Cole Custer, or this year, Ryan Preece?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Colin. Ryan Preece has to do better. I think the writing was kind of on the wall for Cole Custer when Ryan Preece was brought in by SHR as a reserve driver last year. And unfortunately for Cole Custer, no disrespect as well, he didn't perform. If you caught my countdown to Daytona article about Cole Custer's season, you'll see. Yeah, I think he had the worst pass differential out of all the 36 charters last year. And that's just not good enough, especially when you've got someone like Ryan Preece waiting in the wings. And so, yeah, I put my money on Ryan Preece as well.
All right, next up here, we want to know who's got a better season, Kyle Busch in the 8 or Tyler Reddick in the 45. I'll start quickly. I'm going to go ahead and take a Loganity take here. I'm going to take Tyler Reddick in the 45. I've said on previous shows in this brand and others, I think Kyle Busch still very good, but I think his best days are behind him. I'll take Reddick in the 45. Adam, what say you?
Part of me wants to say Reddick because he's one of my new favorites as he's kind of, I guess, as Martin Truex Jr. gets near the end of his career, I need a new driver soon. But I think Kyle Busch in the 8 is going to be a force to be reckoned with. We kind of touched on this earlier, or Colin did. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He's got something to prove after kind of a disappointing season last year. And also last year, Toyota had some issues. So he's now in a Chevrolet. I think Kyle Busch, by a small margin, I'll say Kyle Busch.
All right, Colin, what say you? Who's got the better year in them, Kyle Busch this year or Tyler Reddick, 8 or 45?
I'm going to say Kyle Busch has a better year. I think the experience for him on multiple different tracks certainly leads into Kyle Busch's experience. Tyler Reddick is one of the new Kyle Larsons who has the most incredible talent behind the wheel. But Kyle Busch is also one of those drivers, too, just a little bit older, near the twilight of his career. He'll have more, I guess. You know, I'm going to take a parallel here because I'm the open wheel guy. Alexander Rossi announced he was going to be leaving Andretti last year, going to Arrow McLaren. It seemed like a pressure was lifted off of him, and he finally scored his first win in a couple years. He was winless at IndyCar, and then he finally went to Indianapolis Road Course Race 2 during that Indy triple header with NASCAR, and he finally won a race. I think Kyle Busch could have the same level of passion that Alexander Rossi had, we saw last year, the weight lifted off his shoulder. He's finally in a place where he's wanted. And I think that's the biggest thing is I think he didn't want to be at Gibbs, and now he's going to a place where I think the team can rally around him. You're having one of the greatest drivers of all time head to Richard Childress. We haven't seen one of these GOAT-level drivers since Dale Earnhardt was there. So this is going to be a big season for Kyle Busch, and he's a dark horse pick for a championship in 2023.
All right. Well, keep that in mind because we're going to make some final four predictions here in just a little bit. But first, let's continue to ask, who has the better season? This time, the Rookie of the Year contenders, Ty Gibbs or Noah Gragson? Adam, get us started. Who you got?
Again, I think I like Noah Gragson better. I love his personality. I love his outspoken nature, and I think he's great for NASCAR. But I think I have to lean more in Ty Gibbs' favor just because of the difference in equipment. I think Ty Gibbs at Joe Gibbs Racing is just in a better car and will have better opportunities to succeed this year. So I'll be rooting for Noah, but I think it might be Ty.
Look, I think I know why you're rooting for Noah, but we'll talk about that another time. Yeah, I got to go with you. Ty Gibbs, look, I love Legacy Motor Club. Anything that's got the king, yeah, I'm with. But at the end of the day, the funding and the support and just the powerhouse that Joe Gibbs Racing is, it's still Joe Gibbs Racing. And say what you want about Ty Gibbs' attitude. He's proven he can win. He's proven he's going to be a force. Now, you might not like the way he gets it done, per se, but Ty Gibbs is going to make some noise in this sport. I'm going to take him, even though I'll be rooting my heart out for that 42. Colin, what say you?
Ty Gibbs, on paper, has everything he needs. He has Joe Gibbs Racing support. He has TRD support. He has the former 18 team, which was Kyle Busch's team, and he showed speed last year in that car. But I think Ty Gibbs has a tougher road to hoe than Noah Gragson simply because of the attitude that Gibbs brings with him. There's a lot more people in the Cup Series willing to punch back than there are in the Xfinity Series. Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, Logano, Brad Keselowski, just a few come to mind. And, you know, all it takes is for him, like we saw with Ross Chastain, he didn't make a lot of friends last year. Ty Gibbs is in that same position where he will go for wins if he needs them. And if the opportunity prevents himself, he'll do whatever it takes to get his first Cup win. But that could piss a lot of people off, and that will make his life a living hell. So my heart says Gragson, but my mind says Ty Gibbs.
Yes. My mind is telling me no, but my body. Anywho, that's a classic tune. That's a classic tune. So with that, we're going to – look, there's a lot more we could discuss, but luckily we've got a little time between now and the next race. So there's some things we're going to talk about next week and talk and get in depth about. And one of them is being Jimmy Johnson driving for Legacy Motor Club. We'll touch on that and more next week. Now, let's get to our final four predictions. Look, Adam, you're the show creator around here. You're the boss man. You're the 2.0. So give me your final four predictions. Let's get it started.
I know that it was me that forced us to make these final four predictions, and yet I also want to acknowledge that it's ridiculously early for this. So, you know, don't hold us to this because I have no idea. I'm gonna say Martin Truex Jr. gets back to the final four. Chase Elliott always seems to find a way there, so I think he's just a solid performer throughout the entire year. I think he'll make it. I think Larson will find his way back as well. And I'm going to say Kyle Busch in the 8 gets to the final four as well.
Colin, what say you? I want some final four predictions from you, my friend.
So I've had a lot of thought about this. I thought about this all day since I saw the show sheet. So I'm going to go in no particular order. I'm not going to rank them who's 1, who's 2, 3, 4. I'm just going to say whoever. I'm going to say Kyle Busch shocks the world, and he'll be one of the spots. I think Ross Chastain gets in as well. I think Kyle Larson makes it as well. And I'm going to take Denny Hamlin as well.
Denny Hamlin, of course, he's looking to get off that schneid and get his first championship. All right, I believe now it's my turn for some final four predictions. Like Colin, I'll go no particular order, just going to fire him out at you. Chase Elliott, number one. That's look, he always seems to get there, as you said, Adam. He is the golden boy for a reason, and he's proven that he can win during those clutch times and come through. If last year was any indication, let's be honest, he'll have a hell of a regular season and almost cruise there. So next, let's look at Christopher Bell. I think he took a huge step in the playoffs last year. I think, frankly, he might be the greatest championship force driving for Joe Gibbs currently. I'm not disrespecting Denny Hamlin or Martin Truex Jr. It's just we don't know how long Martin Truex Jr. has, and Denny Hamlin has yet to prove he can win the big one. And so until he does, it's tough to believe that he will. As far as number three, I'm going to take this is going to make my better half happy. I'm going to take Ryan Blaney. Look, we know he, similar to Rex, had a down year in terms of wins last year, but we know the kind of powerhouse the Team Penske is, and we know the talent that Ryan Blaney is. I think he makes the final four. And fourth, I'm going to go ahead and call a kind of a low-gainity upset. I think Kevin Harvick will make the final four in his final full-time season in NASCAR. By the way, Taylor Kitchen made that same prediction. So I'm not the only one out here thinking on limbs. So with that, look, even our producer has chimed in. Producer Peggy says she's got Ryan Blaney. She's got Chase. She's got Christopher Bell. And she's got one young Willie B. William Byron. That's her final four. So we want to know throughout the week on social media, what is your final four? Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube. You know, on if there's an account you want us to have, let us know. We'll make it. I can promise you. But that's our Final Four. Let us know yours throughout the week. Maybe we'll just touch on those comments next week right here on Episode 2 of Racing Refresh Happy Hour. And speaking of Episode 2, to get to Episode 2, you have to end Episode 1. And so to end Episode 1, there's only one way to do that. We're going to pay a little tribute to our founder, the one and only AJ Appeal. Of course, the name Closing Time, again, that's a tribute. If you remember watching the original show, that's what we called the end of the show. Again, if you're wondering what's going on with AJ Appeal, he's doing fine. He's been poached and hired by John Force Racing, and he's working in a new creative and marketing and development role. He's doing absolutely A-OK, and you just might see him on this new Racing Refresh Happy Hour a time or two this season. So with that, it's officially closing time, and with that, it's time to bring back in our producer, Peggy. Adam, you're still here. Colin, you're still looking damn good, and I'm still looking A-OK. So, Adam, you're the show creator. Kick it off. Final words.
Well, I think we actually have a closing time graphic here. Hey, shall we?
Didn't I? Look, I just absolutely sorry to kill your thunder.
First show jitters, right? First show jitters. That's okay.
I'm never nervous.
Oh, wow.
Look at that. Closing time. Yes. Beautiful. Closing time. So now, Adam, thanks for steering me on the right track. That's a show and racing pun. Adam, final words. First episode of Racing Refresh Happy Hour.
Yeah, it's exciting to be here, and I'm just so excited that racing is back. I know it was not for points, but just watching the Clash got me super excited for this season to start up. I'm looking forward to spending it with you guys, breaking it down all through the year. So looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
That I am as well. Colin, how about your final words, young man?
I'm just glad the offseason's over. We ended 2022 with one of the greatest spectacles in racing, the Snowball Derby, and now we're approaching another Daytona 500. We're approaching another Grand Prix of St. Petersburg and another Bahrain Grand Prix. Real soon, we'll have all three racing series going, and the show will be jam-packed. I don't know how we'll fit it in under an hour, but we will. Logan, it's great to be back with you. Adam, it's great to finally, you know, talk to you more. We've worked as as colleagues for 2 years, and this is really like the first time we've really gotten to get to know each other. So I'm happy, and it's always nice to see Peggy's beautiful, beautiful face and that Pearl Jam poster right over her shoulder.
I mean, if that doesn't feel like home, and you know, they say, Colin, behind every, well, in my case, lackluster man is a wonderful woman who is the wind beneath my proverbial wings. So, Producer Peggy, or as I prefer to call you, Peter, any final words?
I'm very happy to be back. I'm sad but proud of AJ Appeal. I just have a lot of mixed emotions, and I would be remiss if I didn't say smile, be happy. And until then.
So with that, I think it's time for me to close this thing out. Look, it is great to be back under the Racing Refresh banner. Brand new show, Happy Hour, each and every week, each and every Wednesday. Follow us on all the socials. And a special note to Mr. AJ Appeal, thank you for making what we do possible. And thank you for blazing that trail and laying the blueprint of how you get this thing done and make it your career. We are incredibly proud of you, and we hope that you are just a little bit, just even close to how proud we are of you. We hope you're a little proud of us. And to you who listen, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Hope you enjoyed episode one. Looking forward to episode two, where we promise, Colin, you'll love this, to be just a skosh better next week. We'll see you at the track. I'm going.
See you.